Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. Republicans and Democrats across the country are losing registrations. On the other hand, the Libertarian Party's registrations are rising. But the question is, why? Why is that happening? We have these two huge, cronyist, huge government parties, and they're spending 1,000 times as much on marketing as the Libertarian Party does. And yet their registrations are falling. They're even using your tax money to fund their marketing, as they do at their conventions. So why are they bleeding registrations? Why are more and more people changing their registration to libertarian? I think it's that people are seeing the benefits of dismantling government. People are realizing that, for example, if we end the war on drugs, we're going to have less violent crime and more safety. They're realizing that if we repeal the gun-free school zone laws, school shootings, like the one in Newtown, probably won't even be attempted. And if they are ever attempted, they're going to be cut short. I mean, the headline wouldn't have read Massacre at Sandy Hook. It would have not even been a headline. It would have been a back page article that said something like, you know, guy tries to shoot a school and is immediately put down by staff or security guards or maybe even teachers. Go to lp.org and you can see how you can help to make America better, safer, and more prosperous by cutting government. You can learn about our candidates, our state parties, and our campaigns. Today's guests are going to make your life better by reducing and dismantling government programs. Later in the show, we'll be talking to Rocky Palmquist, candidate for Texas Agriculture Commissioner. But first, we're going to talk to Brannon McMorris, candidate for U.S. Senate in Louisiana. He's a successful engineer. He's led successful projects at Intel and HP. And he's going to work to abolish the IRS, repeal the Controlled Substances Act, end the war on drugs, fight laws that control the internet, stop government spying on citizens, extend marriage equality to all couples, and vote down any increase in the military budget. Brannon, welcome to the show.
Hi, glad to be with you today, Arvind.
Now, you've talked, I mean, you know, looking at your website, looking at what you've been talking about some pretty substantial cuts to government. I mean, one of the big ones that you've talked about over here is repealing the Controlled Substances Act and ending the war on drugs. Now, how would doing that, you know, how is that something, first of all, that you, if you were elected, would be, you know, willing to sponsor legislation or co-sponsor legislation to do?
I would be willing to sponsor legislation, and I think that, you know, that's one of the things that we could do quickly, without having a large impact across the private sector economy. In fact, I think it would have a positive impact.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Of course, if you're in the Senate, you have to work to build coalitions. But, I think that's possible in today's environment to, you know, get that done, at least with marijuana. When, people see what's happening in Colorado and Washington, they're going to see the same thing that happened in Portugal, that when they decriminalized drugs, they saw drug imports into the country drop. Mm-hmm. And there's an economic reason for that. Countries with the most strict drug laws that's where the highest profit margins are going to be. Mm-hmm. So that those countries are going to be victims of, you know, the violence of cartels and so forth. The prohibition creates violent criminals.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, what's really interesting is that it even prevents, I mean, it doesn't even make people have to, it kind of forces people to be violent, because if, go ahead.
Exactly, it does. It forces, you know, any black market forces people to be violent. There's there's no way to regulate it. And I hate to use that word, because I mean, there's no way to there's no way for the market to control the price. It's left simply up to the black market and a limited supply and a lot of demand out there. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a few people fighting for the money, and those people are going to be criminals. They're not going to be law-abiding citizens.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's even interesting is even if they were law-abiding citizens, I mean, if there were people who inherently had a predilection towards peaceful resolution of conflicts, there really isn't that mechanism over there. I mean, if a normal company has a disagreement with another normal company, they can go to court, they can settle it out, mediation. Whereas in a black market economy, essentially the tendency is to resort to violence because that's the only real way to settle the dispute.
Right. You're exactly right. That's the only way to resolve things, and that's we're using our tax dollars to make a bad situation worse. Mm-hmm. We're paying our money to make a bad situation worse, and more people get more information and see what's happening actually inside the borders of the United States. I think this is going to change very rapidly, and I think it's one place in the next 6 years that we can actually make progress as libertarians. Mm-hmm. I think overall, things are a bit more complicated when you look at the rest of government because you have bad legislation on top of bad legislation.
Yeah.
And that's going to there's going to be some untangling to do. And, inherently working with other people to do that is going to take a long time. So, you have to take you have to take a 20-year vision instead of a 6-year vision or, 4-year, 2-year. Mm-hmm. Rather than get past the next election cycle, you're going to have people elected that are willing to take that, 20-year view, because that's what it's going to take to not only stop it, but to reverse the arrows back towards the direction of liberty.
Let's talk about some of those areas where we're going to be cutting things. I mean, we've talked about the Controlled Substances Act, war on drugs, and that's something that you're arguing is going to not just cost a lot less money, but actually reduce violent crime.
Correct. Okay. And I think. I mean, I know that will that'll prove itself out, and like I said, within the borders of the United States, you see, there's not enough evidence over time to see it in Washington and Colorado, but over the next few years, you will see enough empirical data to at least correlate the two.
Absolutely. Now, what are some of the next steps? I mean, let's say we the war on drugs, or honestly, like even if you just sponsor legislation, let's say you sponsor legislation and you're the only person who sponsors it, and nobody else in the Senate, votes for it, and nobody else in the Senate supports this legislation to attend the war on drugs, that at least lets voters know that they're Democratic voters, many of whom are opposed to the war on drugs. At least now they'll know that their Democratic senators are not really about ending the war on drugs, and then they can then vote them out and vote Libertarian the next round, because you've said, here's the thing, will you sign this? And when they say no, we as voters know what's going on. But what are some of the next steps? What are some of the next areas where you would start where you would dismantle and cut and repeal parts of the federal government?
I would start with trying to break the tie between big business and big government, and that's hitting as much regulatory reform as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to push for comprehensive regulatory reform, and you would think Republicans would jump on board with that, because a lot of lip service is given to small business,
mm-hmm.
but nobody ever really explains why small business is the backbone of this country.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to work for, or even a retail shop for a small business owner, you're going to eventually learn a lot about the business. So it's in the owner's best interest to pay you a living wage, because mm-hmm. you know about their business. And if you leave, it's going to be a big loss to the small business owner. So we're not having these conversations about raising the minimum wage if we have that, you know, backbone of small business, which we've lost. And most of that is due to regulation and taxation. Big business can afford the overhead, small business can't.
And a big part of those regulations are, I mean, and you know, as a small business owner myself, one of the things that people often don't realize is because the big companies have more lobbyists, those regulations are designed just to get in the way of small business and to give big business an advantage. I mean, it's designed to make the playing field as unequal and as in favor of big corporations as humanly possible. So I think getting rid of some of those regulations, I mean, that's how you get innovation. That's how you grow the economy. That's how you make all this kind of stuff happen.
You have to have that even playing field. And, you know, I'll give the listeners an example. Here in Louisiana, back in 1980, there were 1,000 dairy farmers. Today, there's 90 dairy farmers. Mm-hmm. We just had legislation go through our state legislature here about, to let people purchase raw milk. Well, you know, big dairy companies have already assessed the risk, and they know that they don't want to take on the liability that, you know, somebody might get sick from the raw milk, and lawyers come and sue, and mm-hmm. that eats into profit. And, you know, they have all the tools to do that analysis. But they certainly don't want small dairy farmers coming in and selling raw milk. So you put those regulations out there, scare people into thinking that, you know, you drink raw milk, it's going to kill you, mm-hmm. which is not true. If you know, more dairy farmers were selling raw milk, there would be somebody that comes up with a better way to, when you're milking the cow, come up with a more sanitary way of extracting the milk. And, you know, that's a new innovation.
And I mean, it doesn't have to be a new innovation. I mean, like, raw milk has been used for centuries, and people just often just flash pasteurize it at home. I mean, it's not even that they are drinking it raw; they just pasteurize it themselves. It's a pretty simple process, and a lot of people that I've met that are really into health food have just talked about it. You know, it's like not a huge thing. Pasteurized is boiling. It's not this highly complex concept that only, you know, big companies can possibly afford to do.
Well, for me, you know, boiling an egg is complicated. I'd say it might be complicated for me. No, but seriously, it is, you know, pasteurization is just basically boiling it. But, I mean, if you have more sanitary ways to extract the milk, you know, that's a bad example, but, when you put more choices on store shelves for consumers, so, you know, individuals have those choices, inevitably, there's going to be innovation that comes along with that, and that's new wealth creation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, wealth is not zero sum. The more choices the consumer has, more choice individuals have, the more wealth that we're going to have as a country.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, about marriage equality, about cybersecurity right after this break. Right now we're talking with Brannon McMorris. He's a candidate for U.S. Senate in Louisiana. He's working to repeal the Controlled Substances Act, end the war on drugs, get some of these regulations that favor big business out of the way so that small business can fairly compete and we have more innovation, better quality. His website is BrannonMcMorris.com. That's BrannonMcMorris.com. Candidates like Brannon are working to get government out of your way, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. Get to lp.org/states. You can see how you can get involved in campaigns in your state, maybe even run for office yourself. You can help us repeal things like the war on drugs and downsize big government. You're listening to the Libertarians Working for You. We'll be right back.
the Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Variety.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We're talking with Brannon McMorris. He's a candidate for U.S. Senate in Louisiana. In the last set, we talked about eliminating the war, ending the war on drugs by eliminating the Controlled Substances Act. We talked about how that would make you safer, reduce spending, reduce crime. This time, let's talk about the flip side of that. Brannon, I mean, let's say we start to get rid of some of these departments, and get rid of the war on drugs, maybe repeal a bunch of other or dismantle a bunch of other federal departments. There's a pretty big benefit. I mean, there's the small benefit. I mean, the big benefits of innovation that you get from less regulation and quality and all that. But there's a huge benefit that we could actually reduce or even eliminate the income tax. What's your view on, is that something you would be willing to sponsor legislation to do, to get rid of the income tax?
I would absolutely get rid of the income tax. Yeah, I don't think that that's going to happen any time in the future, simply because we as libertarians have to make the case for that, and it's hard because people have been indoctrinated with fear that we'll lose all of our essential services. There'll be crime, death, mayhem, destruction from no firefighters being on the streets. Teachers will refuse to teach students. But the reality is, you're going to be shutting down a lot of regulatory agencies, a lot of bureaucracies, mm-hmm. and getting rid of those administrative costs that if most Americans looked at, they would say, I don't want to pay for that. Mm-hmm. There's been numerous examples just over the past few years. The Government Services Agency comes to mind. Is one of the big outrageous expenses to the taxpayer that I don't think any taxpayer would look at and say that's a wise use of my money. As well as we have to cut back on military spending.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Now, in your view, is cutting military spending a question of efficiency, or is it a question of the military actually doing fewer things?
It's both. We shouldn't be embedded in our military. Again, this is one thing that's going to take time because we can't just pull our military out of the world right now. We're embedded like a tick in a lot of places, and mm-hmm. we don't want to cause a lot of mayhem. If, like, we were to pull out of South Korea, then that could be a problem.
What are some of the areas, though, that you think that we could pull out of today? I mean, are there? Do you think that there's any bases that we could shut down?
I think there's a lot of foreign aid going to dictators that we could shut down. I think we should plan a transition out of NATO as well. Breaking that military alliance. If Australia, I believe, is paying for our bases to stay open there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I read that. I could be completely wrong, so I'm actually sorry I said it. But
But that's like a really interesting concept. I mean, this is a thing that I've been hearing more and more about from a lot of federal candidates. I mean, it's certainly something that I, personally support, that, NATO was a Cold War organization. Cold War is over. And, all it's doing right now is it's sort of putting us into military alliances that are causing problems and just encouraging reckless behavior. Now, if that's something that comes to the floor of the Senate, or is that something that you would co-sponsor legislation for the United States to transition out of NATO?
Absolutely, it's entirely it's of no interest to the U.S. taxpayer. There would be many that would argue about how aggressive Russia is acting,
mm-hmm.
It's worse to be involved in that caught up in the Europe. A military alliance there.
Mm-hmm.
That only pushes us, closer to war. We use our military less and our economic power more trade. Mm-hmm. Trading partners make good neighbors. Dropping bombs on people makes bad neighbors, and it, wastes the wealth of this nation. Bomb we drop, every bullet we shoot comes directly out of the private sector and from taxpayers.
Absolutely, and the really interesting thing about that is people say that they're trying to it's almost like the military is trying to change cultures by force, which is ridiculous. But the good thing is many countries have they've benefited from American culture, we've benefited from their cultures because we're trading partners. It's not something that the government, it's not through diplomacy, it's through trade, it's through business, it's through commerce, it's through people who have a vested interest in working together, learning about each other. And I think you're absolutely right. That's what makes the world safer.
Right, and people work together. When you're working with someone for a mutual interest, you don't have any questions about the other person's motive. If there's some conflicting interest there, then there's the paranoia mm-hmm. sets in, and you run into a situation like you did before World War One, where basically Europe went to war based on paranoia.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about, when we're talking about paranoia, it's such an interesting thing that our paranoia is not just extending, outside the country. It's now just really gotten inside the country. We talked about, the warrantless wiretapping, the revelation that came out about, what the NSA is doing and all that kind of stuff. Now, is that something that you think is something that you'd be working to address?
It's only getting worse. There was the CISPA bill last year,
mm-hmm.
That didn't make it through Congress. This year is the CISA, the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act. And the scariest part about this bill is that it allows private companies to share information under the umbrella of cybersecurity with each other about customer information, as well as with the government. With immunity. If you look at Section 6 of that act, we as individuals can't go back and seek damages from a company that has misused our data if they did it in the name of cybersecurity, which is frightening.
Mm-hmm.
It opens the door for misuse of our private data.
Now,
not only in the government, but also in the private sector.
Now, would you be willing? Now, let's say, you know, we're talking. One of the things we talk about a lot is the Patriot Act. That's one of the things that I think is in a lot of ways keeping that door open. Is that something that you think is time has expired?
Yes, definitely. Patriot Act should have expired a long time ago, as well as letting the war in Afghanistan expire. You know, it's frightening that a lot of the young people that I run into today don't remember a time that this country wasn't at war. They don't remember a time that you could walk through an airport without being groped by a TSA agent or walking through a full body scanner.
Would you be willing to sponsor legislation to change that? I mean, like, would you be willing to sponsor legislation to end the Afghanistan, the wars, and the military actions, or whatever they're calling them now in the Middle East, and to eliminate the Patriot Act?
I would definitely. It's, you know, Afghanistan's where empires go to die, and that's pretty much where we're wasting time, we're wasting money, we're wasting our soldiers' lives over there, and it needs to come to an end.
And what about the TSA? Is that something that you would be willing to sponsor legislation to get rid of?
I definitely would, because I can think of one terrorist incident the TSA's actually stopped, and that was the shoe bomber, and I'm not certain that they were actually responsible for that. But it's a waste of money, and these agents don't go through proper police training or investigative training. Not only is it a waste of our tax dollars, it's a invasion of our privacy with the scanners they use, the way they can just pull you to the side and, you know, search your body and basically be a pain in the ass.
I think that's well said. So, I mean, there's just so many more areas that I would just love to be able to talk about, but we are out of time for our set today. So I really want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your campaign and out of your day, out of your, you know, business and life and all that kind of stuff to be on the show today.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
And that was really just, I think, an excellent example of just like how much positive change, you know, if we get somebody like Brandon in the Senate, that's going to be so many positive things that are happening for all of us. We're going to see less government, or we're going to see the lie that the other parties are telling about their views shown right away. We get someone like Brandon to sponsor legislation to end the war on drugs. Now the Democrats in Congress have a choice: co-sponsor the legislation or stop lying and saying that you're in favor of ending the war on drugs. So you can learn more about Brandon at brannonmcmorris.com. His first name is spelled B-R-A-N-N-O-N. He's one of hundreds of libertarian candidates that are going to be on the ballot this year to make you more free, to make America safer and at peace. You can check out the Libertarian Party at lp.org. Thanks for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Rocky Palmquist.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
In today's society, there is just too much competition. Women are taking on the same roles as men. They're working side by side, competing for the same positions. What is happening? This is transferring to how men and women feel about each other and relationships. We're delaying marriages or not even getting married at all. It's time to go back to basics. Listen for this groundbreaking show with host Naftali Schwartz. But it's not really that groundbreaking. It's just a new way of looking at things. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Emotional intelligence has been documented to be the most important skill for a leader to move up in an organization. Leader's Playbook will unpack what emotional intelligence is, why it is important, and how you can raise your emotional intelligence for yourself, your direct reports, and your teams. Join Dr. Relly Nadler every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, to the Leader's Playbook on the Voice America Business Channel. Your success could depend on it.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. Cutting government, reducing spending and meddling, it needs to happen at all levels. Congressmen and senators can work to end the war on drugs, cut military spending, but we also need libertarians at all other levels. We need libertarian sheriffs who will refuse to serve warrants for victimless crimes. We need libertarian attorneys general who will work to decriminalize and deschedule marijuana and hemp. We need governors who will pardon those who are in jail for completely victimless acts. We need people on state boards of education to get the government out of the way of educational innovation, individualization, and quality. We need people in federal and state agencies who will work to get those agencies out of the way of innovation and economic growth. If you're ready to be part of that solution, go to lp.org/states and get in touch with your state party. See how you can get involved in campaigns, or even better, run for office. My next guest understands how important it is to have libertarians working to get federal and state agencies out of the way of progress and innovation. Rocky Palmquist is a Texas farmer running for Texas Agriculture Commissioner. He's planning to work to legalize hemp and marijuana, to find ways to cut wasteful spending and begin a top-down management job attrition in the agency. Rocky, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, man, I really appreciate the invite, and we got a lot of very interesting topics to discuss this afternoon, and I appreciate the time to be able to do it.
Let's talk about now. If you say you're elected agricultural commissioner, Texas Ag Commissioner, what do you do? What are some of the things that you're going to change if you're elected?
Okay, well, first let me explain to people what a Texas Agriculture Commissioner does. This is a statewide office. This is the regulatory agency for nurseries, florists, farming. Your weights and measures in your grocery store, and also in Texas, it controls the weights and measurements at the gas pump. So there's a little bit more involved than just the farming aspect of it.
Okay.
But what I would like to get involved in, and what really got me fired up with this, is Texas is in a big drought right now. We have very little rainfall. Most of our lakes are at least below 50% full in capacity. Okay. We've got a serious issue with our crops and being able to irrigate. A lot of studies coming out now saying we have less than 15 years worth of irrigation water left. So what we're going to have to do is to begin to go by attrition, start getting away from some of the old the crops that Texas is known for. You know, we called it king cotton for so many years. Some of the corn production that just takes so much water to produce that it actually drives the prices up and drives the farmers broke. What we need to do is begin to look at hemp in the state of Texas. We have other states passing us by. Kentucky being one of them. And whoever thought that Texas would be the last at anything? You know, we usually have been the innovators, the leaders, the ones willing to stand up for the little guy. And for the last, I'm going to go on and say 45 to 50 years, this has gone by the wayside. So we got a lot of things to do by trying to help with the drought situation, to making sure that Michelle Obama and Barack Obama keep their hands off our kids' school lunch program. That's going to be another big one, and it's just been announced, I believe, this morning. I was listening to a local Gab talk thing, and they were telling us that not only are we going to be serving lunch now, but we're going to be serving breakfast and probably supper, too.
I think that seems like we have these two things that are so huge, and I definitely want to make sure that we talk about both of them. But there's, I actually had a couple questions I want to talk about with regards to hemp. I mean, if Texas does right now, is it currently legal to grow hemp in Texas?
Oh, absolutely not. You get caught here, you're going to jail.
And so the funny thing about it is.
You can sell hemp oil at Costco, but we can't produce hemp here in any form.
Fascinating. So right now, hemp, just growing hemp, is, which can be used for textiles, paper, all kinds of things. It's going to be used for oils, for shampoos. It's often used in a lot of high-end cosmetics, even lip balms and shampoos and conditioners and all kinds of stuff. What you're saying is it is currently illegal to grow it at all in Texas, even though it is just a logical thing to do due to its high drought resistance.
Oh, absolutely, it's illegal. You will go to jail if you're caught growing it. You know, they're just going to equate it with marijuana. And you know, the funny thing about this is, hemp grows wild in Texas, in the panhandle, and some parts around Mineral Wells and up towards the Red River. It grows wild, but they eradicate it. And that just goes to show how easy it can be grown here and the stupidities of the government bureaucracies that really don't know what hemp is other than it's a weed, you know? And being a nurseryman and being a farmer and a rancher, I always try to tell people, you know, one man's weed is another man's flower.
Mm-hmm.
But to try to get that through to a government bureaucracy is, you know, we all know how that goes.
So, I mean, we're really saying that not only that they're literally saying there's not even through farming, just through nature. Mother Nature is basically just given a product that has so many industrial uses.
From oil to clothing to the cosmetic aids and even some sorts of medicine.
Fascinating. Now, as a ag commissioner, is that something that you could help influence or do? What are things that you could actually do as ag commissioner?
Well, as agriculture commissioner, I cannot. Obviously I can't unilaterally legalize hemp. That's going to have to come from the Texas State Legislature. But what I would like to do is put pressure on those jokers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what I like to call them. It's like Gotham City in Austin. You know, you got the Penguin and you got the Joker and the rest of these guys running everything. What we need to do is have some leadership in the Texas Agriculture Department. Go ahead and put the regulations together. They're going to have to go into place.
Mm-hmm.
Have everything set and ready. Walk down to the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on the desk. And when they say they don't have time to get it done, we're going to say, "Well, sirs, it's already been done for you. Now, what's your excuse?"
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to be one of those things? Well, you know, we got to read it here, and we got to read it there, and then they're going to go back through it, and they'll nitpick it to death. But it's coming to the point in Texas now that the movement has changed, you know, from medicine to hemp. And I think the people of Texas are going to end up pushing it, and if it doesn't happen this election season, it's going to happen in the next one. You know, the time has come. We can cure the Texas property tax woes by legalizing cannabis and hemp and probably do away with the property tax altogether within 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
but then they don't have control of your property that way. You know, they won't be able to seize your property in because there'll be no property tax. So, you know, it's government thuggery at all levels, and you just kind of have to follow the money.
And I think that, and I think that idea is so central. I mean, both of those ideas, the money, but especially the idea, all levels of government need to be, you know, really changed. That you know, having people at multiple places, whether it's, you know, president or whether it's sheriff, they can do so much to protect citizens from an overreaching, meddling, interfering government. And I think certainly as agricultural commissioner, that's something where you, I think, would have exactly the type of influence that we need to have at every single level.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think it's going to work out good. And the people that know me, and there's probably some people chuckling here in Texas right now going, wonder what Rocky's going to say next. But my favorite thing when I get to speaking to people and talking to them, I put my money where my mouth is. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask somebody to do something that I'm not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always promise to be is I want to be the biggest pain and thorn in the side of the United States government that the state of Texas has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's time that somebody starts gutting these people back because they are stealing from the states. They're confiscating people's money, whether it be from the farm taxes, property taxes, your sales taxes, your income tax. This is all theft. If we can make the theft go away, arrest the thugs, put them in jail, the rest of us can live free.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is exactly what I'm talking about, what needs to be happening. We need to have people that are going to say, listen, this is theft, and I'm going to stop it. And when I stop it, you're going to have a better job. You're going to have a stronger economy. You're going to have more safety because we're going to be able to use those things for productive private sector first purposes instead of this type of government thuggery where we're literally having, we're paying people, you know, people in Texas are paying, their taxes are being used to just basically destroy free crops. I mean, how much more ridiculous could anything possibly be?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and we have a very oppressive property tax here.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't pay your property tax, what's going to happen to you? They come and take your property. So I like to point out to people, well, you never owned that property anyway if they can take it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the state of Texas is a very statist, a large government state. Don't let Rick Perry and the rest of the goons fool you.
Mm-hmm.
There is so many burdening regulations here, and some of the environmental laws that are so oppressive to the farmers. You know, a blind salamander, a cave cricket, a three-legged yellow warbler spider, you know, whatever it might be. These things are actually just used to put the screws down to the farmers.
Mm-hmm. Now, after this break over here, I really want to talk about what the whole thing with the school lunch, school breakfast, school dinner. But we'll do that right after this break. We are currently talking to Rocky Palmquist. He's a candidate for Texas Agricultural Commissioner. His website is vote4rocky.com. Vote4rocky.com. Now, people like Rocky Palmquist, they can't do this alone. They need your help. You got to go to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved with campaigns in your state. Because the more people we have involved in these campaigns, the more people we have running for office, the more we're going to be able to cut government at all levels. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. Wealth Generators empowers your personal freedom with a simple, repeatable program for success. Our stock market experts bring extensive experience and deliver it directly to our members so they can invest for themselves. Now, for a limited time, the Financial You listeners can try the Wealth Generators program risk-free for 30 days for only $1.
That's right, just $1. You will have access to our 3 weekly trade strategies for a full 30 days. After the trial ends, our products are covered by our triple your money back guarantee. If you trade our strategies for 6 months and lose money, we will pay you 3 times your subscription fee back. That's how confident we are in the Wealth Generators program. In addition, you can earn by referring others to the program. If you tell a friend and they join, you get paid. Not once, but each and every month they remain active. Trade like the experts, build residual income, and take the first step in generating wealth. Enroll now at WGOffer.com.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We're talking with Rocky Palmquist, candidate for Texas Agriculture Commissioner. He aims to use his position to actually help Texas legalize hemp, which is actually not even just easy to grow in Texas. It's actually growing wild in Texas. Let's talk about what's going on with the school lunch program in Texas and what you could do about that.
Oh boy, that's a hot topic. And the Texas Department of Agriculture controls the school lunch program. It administers the federal money. And one thing I want to make perfectly clear to the people that are listening: anytime that you hear, "Oh, it's free," it's coming from the federal money. Well, whose pocket is that really coming out of? I mean, seriously? But we hear this all the time in the news media. That's our money, and it's still theft. But what the feds are planning now, and it looks like Texas is going to accept the money. And, you know, those Republicans that like to keep government small, they're going to be offering, we've had the school breakfast program for a long time, the school lunch program, and from the looks of it now, it looks like we're heading into a supper program, too. Now, understanding that there are some children that can't afford to eat, maybe dad's in a wheelchair, he worked in a farm for many years, he's lost his legs, he's on a pension. I can understand, and I have the compassion for children like that. That's what the programs need to be used for. But what the big problem I have with it is these same children that are going to be receiving this aid, their parents are already on the Lone Star Card. And for people that are not in the state of Texas, the Lone Star Card is our equivalent to food stamps. It's more or less a credit card that's given, and you run in the grocery store and you pretty much buy whatever you want to buy with it. Mm-hmm. So we're actually being tapped twice, Not only we haven't through the state of Texas to do the Lone Star Card, but now we're going to be feeding the children too. Not just what the children would eat, but what Michelle Obama wants them to eat. Now, if you go and you talk to the teachers in the schools, and I have all across the state of Texas, a lot of those lunches are ending up in the trash can. The kids just don't eat them.
Interesting.
So we've got a big problem of waste. That doesn't help their so-called greenhouse gases, their global warming or whatever it is that they're whining about this week. And it's also stolen out of our pocketbook. So what is the Agriculture Commissioner of Texas, what I'm going to tell them is, okay, this is going to be local grown food. It's going to come from Texas right here. We're going to handle the program. We're not going to accept any more federal money. No more. Not for this program. We don't need the strings attached. We are Texans, and we can take care of ourselves. Every bit of money from Washington comes with strings, and I'd just rather not have it. I'm not a marionette or a puppet.
And, you know, it is so interesting. I mean, when the schools and you know, the departments, local, federal, and state departments of education talk about expanding, you know, the school lunch program, it's interesting to me that an organization that so clearly can't even handle the education parts of education has the hubris to start adding, you know, now they're like a restaurant or something like that. I mean, I think real simply, what you're saying is right. This is something that needs to be handled at the local level, or even better, at the individual level. I mean, something that can be handled through charitable organizations that whose vested interest it is in making things work, not just finding an excuse to spend as much money as possible or to sort of benefit their political cronies.
So well, I think that's a lot of it. I think it's just the political cronyism of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, Texas is notorious for that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, even if a school lunch ends up in the trash can, if your goal is to feed kids, then you're going to be like, that's a total waste. But if your goal is just to find some excuse to spend tax money on some overpriced school lunch program that's going to be sold by somebody that has a bunch of political cronies or an organization that has a lot of lobbyists, I mean, as soon as the lunch is purchased, your work is done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what I think, in all honesty, and I've been called a kook for this, and that's okay. You know, I've been called much worse. Mm-hmm. This school lunch program, the breakfast, the supper, and everything else that they're offering, this is another way to indoctrinate our children. Look to the government to do everything for you. Mm-hmm. Look for the government to feed you. Mm-hmm. Look for the government to give you the books that they want you to read. We're raising a society of children now that are doing just that. And if people don't think that this is a grand plan or already put together, they're living in Mars, because it's pretty plain to see what's going on. Indoctrination of the children, and you have them for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. I mean, as a simple example, when we think about all like the important political critiques of the teachers unions, and you know, there's many people who on every side of the aisle and every political persuasion recognize that teachers unions are probably one of the most destructive influences in American politics and in American education. And what's particularly interesting is that's an argument that has never been mentioned in any public school ever, and it never will be mentioned in any public school ever, because the teachers have a vested interest in giving an incomplete, biased non-education. So, I mean, I think that you're absolutely right. We're basically in a situation where, you know, we're gutting things because of that. And if we can just get the government out of education entirely, you know, state level, federal level, local level, and get individuals involved, we can really start to turn that around.
Oh, I agree completely. I just, of course, being a libertarian, you know, I think we can pretty well deal away with almost all government. So you certainly don't get an argument from me there. And we want to talk a little bit of cutting. I think we can probably get into the Texas Department of Agriculture and go ahead and whack off 25% of the top management, and we might actually get something done. Because these people that are sitting in these offices, air-conditioned offices in Austin, and they're pulling $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year, that's not worth it, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I make less than $28,000 a year. Mm-hmm. I work my tail off all day long.
And the key thing is you don't do stuff that harms other people, but the people who are working those jobs are doing things that are getting in the way of innovation and progress.
Absolutely, and they're way overpaid. These people don't need to be making the money that they're making. And I'm probably going to lose votes out of the agriculture department for saying it. But, you know, facts are facts. And the truth is the truth. And if they don't want me there, yeah, you probably better go vote against me, because if I think your job's not worth it, I'm going to can you.
Absolutely. All right. We are talking to Rocky Palmquist, Texas candidate for Texas Agricultural Commissioner. Rocky, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Hey, man, I really enjoyed it, and God bless you. And people, get out and vote, especially here in Texas. Get in touch with me. Let's go shake Austin up and show these thugs they're not in control.
And if you want to get in touch with Rocky, his website is vote4rocky.com, vote4rocky.com. If you want to learn more about the Libertarian Party, go to lp.org. Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.